And that song is the truth. He does call you friend. And Jesus said, I'll no longer call you servants, but I'll call you friends. And for everything the Father's told me, I've told you. He said, I no longer call you servants, yeah, because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but I've called you friends. And he said, I'm everything that God's given me, I'm giving you. Like a friend, not a master to a slave or servant anymore. He said, the whole thing's changed. We've gone from the law now to grace. And, you know, seeking to be the friend of God is a great thing. That's really not the title of the message. The title of the message is just, you know, the Spirit in you, the Spirit's filling, the Spirit in you. We're going to talk about that today. We've been moving through Colossians. Now we're going to jump over to Ephesians for a time or two and just talk about what this stuff really means. I've heard, you know, all years through seminary, all this stuff, you know, being filled with the Spirit. And, you know, nobody ever really sat down and said, how do you do that? What does that look like? How, you know, you're just talking about being filled with the Spirit. And so, you know, you read this in Scripture, which is fantastic, but sometimes you just ask, I want to do that, how? What's the key to it? Do you go to some special meeting? Do you have somebody lay hands on you? And we've seen all those things, and I'm not mocking any of that. I'm just simply saying, you know, that he says be filled with the Spirit, but we're going to read all the other stuff to get up to it. But the whole thing focuses today on the Spirit in you and your relationship with God and just you and the Spirit and what's going on or not going on. So we'll start in Ephesians 5, and I'll read these passages to you. And he begins, we have to jump in here somewhere, and I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to read the whole, you know, more in the chapter, but time gets us. And so please read the before and after and all this, and read the before, because it talks about being imitators of God and walking love. I didn't want to leave all that out of this, but it just, we couldn't include it. So let me read what I can. And we start with chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 6. This is the New American Standard Bible today. I know I flip-flop back and forth between different versions, but this one is better, seems to be better today for this particular message. It said, let no one deceive you with empty words. Keep that. We read this stuff and think, because we focus on the latter part here, and we forget that part. And so already make a note. Oh, that's important? That's important. And we'll come back to it. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Mark that down. If you're going to be walking the light, you say, you know, over in 1 John, it talks about walking the light as Jesus in the light. And you ever ask yourself, what does that look like? What is that? Well, know this. Scripture explains Scripture. Scripture interprets itself. If you keep reading and studying long enough, what you read in one book or one chapter, you'll find another place and it explains itself. You don't have to have 36 commentaries and go online and listen to a bunch of people that finally end up confusing you worse than when you started. Scripture will explain Scripture if you'll stay in the Scripture. And I've been asked many times, you know, what commentaries do you use? And all this. I use lots of Bible references and studies and all this. But actually, if you just keep reading and you keep looking up the references, get you a good reference Bible. It has good, you know, reference topical Bible, and find these subjects there. And all of a sudden you'll find, oh, what was mentioned over in Ephesians is now explained over in 1 John. Oh, and this in Colossians, Ephesians is fleshing it out, which, by the way, those two go together. So he says, if you want to know what the fruit of the light is, walk in the light, what do you see when that's happening? He said, goodness and righteousness and truth will come out in your life. You're going to see your life more full with that. And more free in experience and expressing it. But then he says, trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. And that's another part of walking in the light and being filled with the Spirit, is you have a desire and a hunger to know what pleases God. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But he said, all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So what is he saying there? He said, you're the light. Remember Jesus said, his people are the salt and the light. If you ever wonder why certain people don't like you, it's because you're light and you're light bringing light into some darkness in their life. Then they don't like it. And you're exposing something you don't even know you're exposing. It's because Christ, he's in you, your hope of glory, and he's shining out of you. And you're exposing their deeds of darkness in there, and they're not happy with you. You know, we need to teach young Christians. I don't mean little kid Christians. I mean, you may be 50 years old and just become a Christian. You're a young Christian. We need to teach those who become Christians. One of the first things we need them to understand, and we don't do this, is we need not only start teaching the Bible, but we need to teach them that they're not going to be popular in the world. Instead, we let people get hit, you know, full on, just right upside the head with rejection and all this stuff. The church has let people, Christians, down, the church universal, by not telling the truth. When you come to Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins and you ask Jesus in your heart, we're kind of given this impression. I was. We all are. Oh, things are going to be so much better now. Your life is going to be, you know, if we don't teach that, they catch it from us. And that's really not true. Tell them how great heaven is and how wonderful it is to be in Christ and how it's not so wonderful when you face the world. And what we need to tell them is, and a lot of the friends that you have now will not be your friends in the future, now that you're a Christian. Because you won't be going and doing with them, if you're really saved, the things you used to do with them, and you're not going to say the things you used to say that they like for you to say. And let me read this. It's so hard for me to just read the scripture and not get into it. And yet, let's just read it, then we'll get into the notes. So he says, you need to wake up and rise from the dead. What's he really saying there? He's saying, get your head out of the sand and pay attention to what real scripture, real God, real Jesus, real Holy Spirit is all about, and pay attention to what it's like to live on this earth. And don't live in denial. There are people out there trying to shut the door on you, and we've got to, you know, push back. And that doesn't mean we be ugly, we don't start a war, but we push back. It means we get out there and put on the full armor of God and let's do some battle against the enemy instead of just taking it all the time. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And then not be foolish, but understand where the Lord is. Then it's sad on verse 18 when I read this. I know it just depresses some people, but it says, do not get drunk with wine. And I know that's just going to depress somebody. You said, well, I was looking forward to the communion wine. Well, I'm sorry, but that's grape juice. I told you I make jokes every once in a while because of what I do. And somebody say, Pastor, you're having a bad day. Yeah, but I'm going to go home and just hit the communion wine. And I'll feel better. Did you know I have to lighten up on saying that? I've had people believe that. And it's come back to me, you know. It's like, are you really drinking communion wine? You know, yeah. And it's like, yeah, and it comes in a bottle that says Welch's on it. So then do not be foolish, but understand what God wants is what he's saying. So he says, don't get drunk with wine. We're going to talk about that. That word kind of encapsulates a lot of things. But he said, just don't turn to alcohol or any of those other things. We'll jump on that in a minute. He said, that's dissipation. He said, what's it going to do? What does that word mean? It's going to lead you to say and do things that you sure don't want to remember tomorrow. And probably won't, but others will. He said, and it'll lead you to get yourself into some serious moral trouble and ethical things. But he says, don't use something else as a substitute for God. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And then he said, always giving thanks. All of this is involved in being filled with the Spirit. Yes, it sure is. And always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And he says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's a lot of people forget that little passage right there. You ever been around somebody? I mean, and I'm talking about Christian somebodies, and they just know the word and you can't tell them anything else. They know it. And he says right there, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You'll never, ever be a real learner unless you're willing to learn from everybody around you. These young people sitting right here at this table can teach us some things about Jesus that we think we know as adults. But they will teach us things we need to know. And so you have to be subject, not let your spiritual pride get in the way. So let's look at the Spirit in you. And first of all, he says, don't be fooled by words. And, you know, I've just kind of brought this into a more modern context to catch this up. He said, let no one deceive you with empty words. He said, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That's serious stuff. And so what's he saying? He said, don't you be fooled by words. You look at fruits. How many of you, and you don't have to raise a hand or anything, but and I say that, and we always do. Everybody's so honest in here. They just raise their hand on anything. But how many times have you been fooled by someone who talked a good Christian game, and then you find out later it was just the biggest bunch of garbage you've ever seen? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, me too. I've recently had to counsel some people, not here, you know, I do a lot of work outside, but on this very thing, on, well, I thought that they were a better person than that, and it's like, because they said they were? Because they said they were a good person? Listen, I run into people all the time, and you know, and I, how do I say this? I try careful. I really try to be a pastor everywhere I go, but sometimes it's just really hard. And I run into these guys, and they start telling me these stories about that they were in the airborne, or they were in the, you know, attached to some special ops group. And I'm looking at them, and I'm sure you run into this, and we all have them. You know, you've been in the military, and there are certain things about military people that have military background. They have a bearing. And another military person will notice the bearing. We call it just a military bearing. You just can't miss it. And I'll have some guy telling me, oh, yeah, I was in the whatever Rangers and all that, and they're slumped over, and, you know, and it's like, no, you weren't. And, you know, and I finally got out because they just said I'm too dangerous. That's what, I've heard that. I'm just too vicious. And it's like, the more vicious you are, the more they like you. You know, and so, and they try to impress me. You know, they say, I know you were in and all this stuff, and you did all that. And it's like, yes, and I can detect a fake. Can't you? You know, oh yeah, you know, some guy telling you about, oh, I flew the helicopters. You know, I flew those choppers around. You can tell. You can tell. All of us can. You can tell. You know, you've been in the Army back there. You know, somebody will say, oh, I was in, I did all this and that, and you're going, you weren't even in the Boy Scouts. You couldn't make the Boy Scouts. What are you talking about? And so, you know, and then what I've had to say to the people who come to me and say, this person deceived me with that, is say, don't you realize, though, don't be mad at them for it. Don't you realize what they're telling you? They don't know who they are, and they're trying to adopt an image to be accepted instead of finding out who they are in Christ. They don't understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you don't have to pretend to be something you're not when you're one of Christ's true children. And he wants you to be filled with the Spirit, and you don't have to say, well, I was a Ranger, and I was this, or I did that, or... No, you can just tell. I mean, some of you play golf. You're a golfer. You know some guy shooting your line real quick. You don't have to see him play. You can tell. Most people, if they've really done what they're saying, they start taking on, as they talk about it, they start taking on what they've done. You ever notice that? I'll start talking about jumping out of airplanes. And if you watch my hands, I've had people tell me, they said, do you know your hands go up and start working toggles and you're pulling on risers? It's a giveaway. It's like, yeah, he's been there, done that. And I talk about scuba diving, and I can't help but start working that regulator in my mouth. And it's like, you can tell. It's there. And I was a dive master for years and taught scuba. Y'all remember, I mean, we had classes in the church. We used to do all kinds. I did all kinds of. You must be glad I'm not younger. We had outdoor classes and scuba classes, and we went to Cayman Islands there in a big group. And anybody want to do that? You know, that'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? And I still, once in a while, will go out, and it's getting harder to carry the tanks. You know, I try to get somebody to carry, you know, it, and I found out how to do that. You know, your scuba tanks, they're out of aluminum, but they're still heavy. We used to carry old steel things back in the old days. But I found out if you just kind of stumble and act like you're going down, some young soul will pick up your tank and say, come on, old feller. And so I get them to carry my tanks to the water. But anyway, you say, where does this lead here? I tell all of this to say, haven't you ever, when you've been in church around Christian people and you see people trying to fake their Christianity and they're faking being filled with the Spirit and they're faking an experience that it's like, why are you trying to fake this? So first, to detect them, watch, what does Jesus say? He said, here's the surefire way, by their fruits you'll know them. Anytime somebody tells you something, watch for the fruits. See if there's anything in their lifestyle that's showing you that they are what they're saying they are. A real Spirit-filled person, they don't have to talk about being filled. They don't have to seek an experience. They have it. Now, I want to be real, real careful with some of this here, because I'm not trying to cause any offense with anywhere. And there's lots of folks. We have a big church that watches us out there. And it's growing all the time. But I want you to know, you're not going to ever find these experiences by trying to go to a place that promises that experience. Because you can't program the Holy Spirit to do His work. God programs the Holy Spirit to do His work. You can't have a meeting and say, we're going to do this with everybody. And I'm not knocking anything. I've seen people have some great spiritual experiences. But friends, what we're talking about today is God's way to the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's right here in Scripture. It's not Tony's ideas. We're not denominational here anyway. But it's not some of my, you know, back when denominational background. We're just going to talk about what the Bible says. And it says, don't be fooled by words. Don't let people lead you off God's straight and narrow path with their words. And let me go a little step further here, because I'm hearing this more and more, and I'm hearing some of the younger generation say this to me often. And they'll listen to some messages, whatever, then they'll talk to me and say, I don't see how you could possibly think that a loving God would send someone to hell. You heard that one? See, here's what happens. That's why he says, don't let someone deceive you with empty words. You're going to get in serious trouble when you begin to listen to reason. Now, I've had that posed to me. Well let's just reason this out. Let's just think about this. A God that's so loving to send Jesus to die on the cross surely would not send someone to hell. My response, God doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves there by rejecting Jesus Christ. We condemn ourselves. We've already passed judgment on ourselves. We've already committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit because we've rejected Him. It's over. Done. God doesn't have to say, oh, well, you're going to hell. It's already a big sign right on our forehead there. I'm hell bound. Why? Because I reject Jesus Christ. I want to be my own God. I want to play my own game. I want to live my own life. And He said, you just walked yourself right down there. I didn't send you there. I offered you salvation and you said no. So if anybody ever says that to you, you can say, yes, you're absolutely right. We send ourselves there. Does anyone make an alcoholic or a drug addict? Or do you choose it and go there? You can blame it on your parents, you can blame it on society, but the truth is, you're choosing it because you like it. And you're walking right down that path, and you can blame the whole world, but God's going to look at you and say, you chose it. You could have chose me and my healing and my power. And then here's another one that words will get you on. There's some things, get this one. There are people, I've heard this. There's some things in the Bible that were mistranslated. That's a good one, isn't it? There are some things that were mistranslated. Those King James guys, when they did that back then, that we take all of our Bibles from, they didn't get it right. And so here's what you got to do is say, wow, so when did God empower you with knowledge that goes back before the 1500 guys? You mean you have such knowledge as to open the Bible and say, the King James guys didn't get it right. I should know. I was there. Right? I mean, don't follow these. These are the words that just, and I'm hearing this more and more today. You know, there was a mistranslation. And then here's another one. Well, some of the people that wrote this stuff were bigoted. God didn't tell them that. Once again, and you have this anointing from where? And who appointed you? You're a self-proclaimed scholar of the Bible. Bigoted, you know, prejudiced people, they wrote their own opinions. And here's one that applies with today, and while we're having to put some things in the bylaws. And by the way, there's copies of this material we talked about earlier. Where's that? On the table. So we'll get you a copy that we know we're going to have to put in the business meeting. This one I'm slapped with often. Well, Pastor, then most people call me just Tony. As long as you love each other, what difference does it make? Have you heard that one? As long as we love each other, if we live together, it's okay, right? As long as we love each other, it doesn't matter, you know, what preference we have. Yeah, that's not what God says. And friends, we're either going to stand on what God says or we just may as well throw the book away. And I tell you what, and I would say this to any pastor, any teacher of the Word, you're either going to teach the Bible or get a book of philosophy and start teaching that. And call your church the Church of Philosophers. Because we're not going to teach the truth. As, you know, as long as you love each other, that one's been used a long time. I'm not for sure that many people really know what love is. Do you? I hear people say, no, and don't get mad at me, okay? Well, and they'll grab up their little, and I just love Fifi. Look how Fifi loves me. And Fifi's a dog. He's doing what dogs do. Hold out food they eat. Smell like food they lick. Sorry, I'm not trying to offend anyone. You know, and here's Fluffy the kitty. And oh, look how Fluffy the kitty loves me. I said, really? If your neighbor next door started feeding Fluffy something tastier than you have, Fluffy would abandon you in a minute. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. We all want to believe our pets love us. I had a great dog, and I told everybody that dog just, that's my buddy. I called him my buddy. And they can be. But friends, listen to me, please. I'll probably hear some comments on this, but we're not here to be in love with our pets. We're here to be in love with God. And we're here to love each other. And I wonder if we loved each other as much as we love critters or things, what would happen in this world? Would it maybe be better? So enough of that. Let me get to the second point. Just don't be fooled by words, empty words. Because what does God say? He said, if you let these empty words deceive you, my wrath is going to come on those who are disobedient and do that. So that carries a penalty that we overlook as we begin this text, this passage, this message. He said there's a penalty for listening to corrupt words. And he says, I'll pour out my wrath on those who do it and speak those corrupt words, who mislead anyone. But we need to be careful then, don't we? And I'll tell you who needs to be most careful of all. Myself and every guy in this position, we better be real sure we're preaching the Word and not just trying to tickle people's ears, make somebody laugh, keep them happy. You better be up here, and if you call yourself a pastor, teacher of the Word, we're going to be held accountable. And I know some folks that are going to be really held accountable because they're misleading people. And that's enough on them. What else does he say? This. He says, don't be deceived, don't be partakers with them. And then he goes on and he talks about, you know, you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. What is the fruit of the light? Goodness, righteousness, truth. Listen, he says his goodness, his righteousness, his truth in our hearts through his Holy Spirit will flow out of us. And it will expose darkness and the hidden secret things out here that need to be exposed. That's what we're here to do. To salt, that means to flavor and to preserve. But we're here to be a light. And everywhere we go, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, because when we do, we put out the... Grieving the Holy Spirit is like running out of batteries in your flashlight. It just gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. You have to be renewed in the Spirit. There's not a one-time filling of the Spirit. There is the one-time receiving, but then to be filled, you can grieve the Holy Spirit with unconfessed sin. So if there's anything in your life that you haven't brought to God and confessed, do it now. Do it in your heart. Do it quickly, because your fellowship is hurt with the Lord. Not your relationship, your fellowship. And it's, you know, when we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because we're sealed to the day of redemption. And he says right here, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Well, what is pleasing to the Lord? Read your Bible. We see, and people start quoting the Ten Commandments and all that. And they summed it up where? Look, read over in 1 John again. He said, this is God's commandment that we want. Believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and do what? Love one another. And he said, that covers it all. Jesus was asked, which is the most important commandment? What did he say? He said, first of all, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, meaning you can't have any other gods. And then he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, this sums it all up. If you do this, you're covering all the commandments. You can't mess up that way. That's what Jesus wants to do. It's what God wants us to do. Watch your step. That's our next little bullet point, but let me stay on this walking as children of light. Learn what pleases God, but more than that, don't become just a scholar of the Word. Be a builder of the Word. Learn what pleases God and what? Do it. Do it. There are lots of people with a head full of knowledge, but it hasn't come into their heart and transformed them where they're living out the Word. That's when you become a true disciple. And that's when the Holy Spirit is now working in your life. Learn what pleases the Lord and do it. It pleases God to believe in Jesus, we know that, and to love each other. It pleases God to live in Christ and let Christ live in you. And it pleases God for us to stop once in a while and say, that's what it says, giving thanks to all things up there. Giving thanks, just being thankful. Sometimes I'm so busy, and I do this. I get so busy telling God all about all my aches and pains, I forget to thank him for the part of me that doesn't hurt. You know? My shoulder hurts a lot. You know, and the VA docs say they want to operate on my shoulder. And then the physical therapist I'm going to said, no, I don't think we need to do that. And they pull and they twist it. I go home and take Tylenol. They won't let me take Advil anymore. And so we got to take Tylenol. By the way, if you're really hurting, for me, it just doesn't take it all out. But it helps a little bit. It helps a little bit. And I find if you start thinking it's better than it is in your head, it really works better than it does. But anyway, so I get focused on that, and I realize, and that's why the enemy likes for you to hurt, because you get so focused on that. And God, give me some help. Bring somebody who can do something to heal my shoulder. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what about the rest of you? Aren't you glad your brain works? Aren't you glad you can walk? You can eat now? It's like, Tony, of all people, you ought to be one to be glad you can eat. You know, after being deprived of food as long as I was. And I'm enjoying, by the way, I'm enjoying every meal. Anything I eat, and I just sit there and it tastes so good. There's things I eat now I used to never eat before, but it sure tastes good. Just be able to eat it. Why am I not thanking God for all that? And I started saying I thank God for my eyes, ears, my brain, my mouth. but I didn't want to insult anybody because I know some of you are probably thinking, no, we're not thanking God all the time for your mouth, but for the rest of you, we're happy about. Let's move on to this next one because I don't want to keep you here long and you don't want to be here all day. Watch your step. Watch where you're walking. Verse 15 says, be careful how you walk. Why does he say that? He says, you need to be careful that you're on a straight and narrow path and not somebody else's path they've laid out for you. You know, you got to stay on a straight and narrow path and you got to watch. Listen, we always think, I got to watch so I don't stumble. You need to watch so that you don't get on somebody, the world's path or your friend's path or what's popular. Let me tell you something. The straight and narrow path has other paths created by people and this world to try to steer you off that path. And at first, that path sometimes, many times, looks prettier than the path you're on. And it's real easy trying to make friends, influence people or be influenced by them, or you just want to get along and so forth and so forth, and before you know it, you're easing off God's path and you're on another path. Problem is, when you get on the world's path, society's path, your friend's path, somebody else's will for you, that path starts diverging itself, slowly easing away from God's path. That's why it was put there by the enemy. Watch your step. He said, be careful where you walk. Listen, Christian people, we live in a world that's full of spiritual minds. It's a minefield. And you've got to be able to detect those things and go around them. You've got to know truth from falsehood. And you have to make a decision sometimes. Am I going to be friends with this person or am I going to be friends with God? Because obviously I can't do both. And we're all going to, listen, let me say this to you, I don't know how else to say it, but bluntly. If you're going to be friends with God, you're going to lose some friends out there. You will, no matter what age you are, no matter where you've been. There's some people that I've wanted to be friends with, but I can't. Because I know that their influence is not that they're terribly evil people, nasty people, but they just have things that I can't be exposed to. They talk about things I don't need in my head. How about you? If you have a problem cussing, then you don't need to be around people that cuss all the time. You need to feed your mind peace, the Word of God, love. You need it desperately. So that temper in there gets calmed down. There's, you know, if you're going to stay around people with temper and cussing, doing, you know, how's that helping any? So there are obstacles out there. It's a minefield out there. Walk in the light. What does that mean? That's God's Word. That's God's Holy Spirit. And that's living according to God's will. Let me tell you the minefields are there. You say, you mentioned minefields. What are the things that can blow up and tear me to pieces? You ready? Opinions. We get influenced by people's opinions. And there's a lot of people doing the job that I'm doing here. And if you listen real carefully, they're giving you their opinion and they're not teaching you the Word of God. Thank you, God. I needed that. I have no idea where that's coming from or what that is. What was that? Did y'all hear that? I thought... I have no idea what in the world... What is that? It's the what? Well, Alexa, I care about you, but not that much. You keep talking when I'm talking, we're not going to have a relationship. That's where you want to say, I'll give you this one for free, okay? That's where I want to say, oh, excuse me, did the middle of my conversation interrupt the beginning of yours? Oh my goodness. Opinions is a minefield. Self-interpretation of Scripture. Watch that one. You say, what does that mean? Yeah, somebody is reading the Scripture and said, well, this is what I believe it says. If you just read on, it'll tell you what it says. Watch it when somebody's telling you, well, this is what I think it means. Well, why do you think that? That's not what it says. Watch opinions and watch self-interpretation of Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture, and watch human reasoning. And somebody says, let's just reason together about this Scripture, about what the Bible says about sex or about drinking or about... There's no reasoning. God says it, that's it. Is everybody with me? And you've got to walk that way if you're going to be filled with the Spirit. Watch your step. So you're saying, could we talk about being filled with the Spirit then? Yeah, we had to talk about all these other things that keep you from being. So first of all, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. And that's dissipation. That'll get you in trouble. And be filled with the Spirit. So listen to me. To be filled with the Spirit, there's more to it than just asking. How many of you have asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit? Okay, most of us. Did you think it happened? Did it stay? Let me tell you what about the filling. You received the Holy Spirit when you asked Jesus in your heart. But you're not necessarily filled. Why? Because you've got so much junk in there, and we've been talking about it, has to come out of your life. You see, you don't get the filling of the Spirit until there's something to fill. And the filling comes with... See, we focus so much in Christianity on salvation, we forget that lordship. Let Jesus be the Savior and what? Lord of your life. And it's when I surrender to lordship that I get spiritship with my fellowship. Everybody with me? That's how it works together. And so to be filled with the Spirit, there's more than asking. And let me give you just a few things. One, you don't turn, and this is where he started at. He said, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, do not turn to any worldly substitute. He said here, don't be drunk with wine. But there's people that get intoxicated with the weather, vehicles, sports. It's a good thing most Texans now are not too intoxicated with sports because their sport thing ended. Your team will let you down, right? Well, let me tell you something. Anything that takes your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, your attitude away from God, that's a little mini God. That's a distraction. Be very careful. I've seen Christian people sit there in front of a TV, big old, you know, big wide TV screen, screaming and yelling and you know, for their team, and go to church and act like they, you know, that they're just next to death. Isn't that amazing? And go out here in life, and you can't, it's like you can't even tell that they've ever known Christ. But you turn that game on, and wow, let's eat the popcorn, and food's flying everywhere. Man, this is great. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, then put Jesus Christ before your entertainment. Hallelujah. I know this sounds like an ugly message, doggone it. It's like, I want to be all... But I got to tell the truth, and God wants us filled with the Spirit. Speak spiritual music to one another. He said, get a melody to your life. Sing psalms and hymns in your heart and let some of that flow out of your life. Instead of some of the stuff that flows out. I'm going to give you part of a proverb here. Just throw it in because it came to me working on this message. It's like the Lord just put in my heart. He said, a soft answer turns away wrath. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Get some soft answers. Why do we have to be ugly to ugly? Somebody says, you know, what's the matter? What were you thinking there? You know, are you stupid or something? And what do we come back with? Really, truly. The ugliest things we could imagine. Let a soft answer turn away wrath. You know, maybe I am stupid. But that's the way I do it. What's wrong with that? It's amazing how it deflates people if you halfway agree with them. I've had people say to me stuff like, well, Tony, if you were a really good pastor, you'd have a church much bigger than you've got. What do I answer? Yeah, you're right on that one. Where are they going to go with that? And it's like, well, and here's what usually happens. I get a half apology. You know, I didn't really mean it like that. I know, but I did. I just do the best I can with what I got. Do you? A soft answer turns away wrath. You know, and in married couples, you know, and you just get into things. Isn't it amazing the stuff you get into an argument about? I go on that a lot, but, you know, I just hear stuff. I sit down with couples, and it's like, you argued over what? Here's a good one. She didn't use enough tea bags. The tea was not strong enough. And it's like, you got an argument over that? Yeah. Well, she knows to put five of those little bags in there instead of four. You know what my response to that is? Does it matter? Well, yeah, the tea's too weak. Got an idea. Next time that happens, won't you drop an extra bag in there yourself? You know, instead of jumping on her, why don't you just say thank you for making that tea? Or better yet, you know, honey, today I'll make that. Why don't you just sit over there? If you really don't like something, do it yourself. That's why I volunteered to cook them any time. There's certain people come to the house and it's like, oh, I know they're going to mess that up. And I'll say, why don't y'all sit over there and we'll just visit. And I don't mind. I'll fix that for you. And I'm thinking, you're so selfish, Tony. You're just doing it so you don't have to eat a bunch of gunk you don't like. Don't turn to worldly substitutes. Don't get drunk with stuff you don't need to be drunk with. How many are drunk with pride here today? Ego. How many of you are drunk with low self-esteem? That can ruin your life. Why can't you see yourself? Why don't you let yourself be who God made you to be? Why can't you see yourself as God sees you? Why don't you believe His word about you? Speak spiritual music to one another. A soft answer turns away wrath. Speak this spiritual music to everybody you find. And listen to me. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, step one, get honest. The first step to being filled with the Spirit is you're going to have to get honest with yourself and with other people and stop making excuses for your sins and weaknesses. Why don't you quit telling people what happened in your past and start telling them what God's doing now in your life and for the future? Your past is the past, and you can't go back. So why don't you do like Paul and said, you know, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to what lies ahead to the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friend, the past is the past. Quit talking about it. Quit living in it. Give it to God and start praising Him for where you are now with Him. Get really honest. Don't make excuses for anything. Listen, if you lose it, if you give the IQ sign going down the highway, don't blame that other person. They didn't make you do it. They gave you an excuse to do it. Are you with me? I'm trying not to look at certain people who've shared things with me that they do like that. You're yelling at them and you do the nonverbal thing, and it's like, what good did that do you? And I want to tell you a quick story. Got to get you out of here. I just had this related to me. People going down the road, this up in Dallas, and one gave the other the sign, you know what the sign is, and the other one gave it back. And all of a sudden, things just started getting worse and worse, and one followed the other. Well, the other pulled into a parking lot, and the other got out with a pistol in their hand. You see, it's not worth it, friends. People are more violent and crazier today than they've ever been. Let it go before you get a hold of something that won't let you go. I'll have to modify this very carefully, but I'm going to give you a military thing here. If you're going to kick a tiger in the bottom, have a way to deal with its fangs. And for a lot of you guys, that really applies in a marriage. Before you say what you're thinking of saying, you just better remember, she might have things. At least that's what I've run into in life a few times. And it didn't have to be in marriage, you know. So you learn the soft answer. So listen, get honest. Don't use excuses to sin or say and do ugly things. Secondly, stop blaming people for your unhappiness. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Stop blaming other people for the reason you're unhappy and get rid of all your junk in your life. Quit carrying junk. They said, you said, they didn't, you didn't, whatever. You were neglected, your parents divorced. What difference does it make now? You have a parent who'll never leave you. You're a part of the family of God. This is all your family here. Get over it. Get on with it. Get rid of that junk. Let God into the dark places of your life. I've got to close this message, but I need to say this one. Let God, Jesus Christ, into those dark, covered up caverns that you have in your heart and your mind that you never want to talk about, but God knows very well they're there. Quit deceiving yourself into thinking that you can carry these secrets the rest of your life when God is looking in there. That's why He allows things to happen, people to say and do certain things. He's trying to get you to let Him in to the places that you've closed Him off from. And when you begin to let Him in, He will begin to fill you with His Spirit. And the reason you're not totally filled with the Spirit is because He doesn't have totally all of you. Now that sounds harder than it is. Just be honest. Say, God, you know I was molested when I was a kid. And my heart's broken because of it. I wasn't, but you know, I've heard many people, and I've had to lead them to try to get them to this place to say, God, that happened when I was a kid. It's affected everything in my life. And I won't let you in there. I keep covering it up. And today, God, I give it to you. Come into my dark places, my dark caverns, my dark areas, and bring your light. I want to be filled with your Spirit. And to do that, I've got to make room and just take that trash out. I don't want to be the person that that's made me into. I want to be the person that you have created and designed for me to be. And you're going to have the Holy Spirit in your life. Let Him in. Obey the Word. And when the Spirit prompts, just say it or do it. Confess, repent, pray. Seek Christ. Live in Christ. You do what God says for you to do in this book, and God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. You don't have to go to a special meeting. You don't have to go out there and do something odd. You just simply do what God says in this book and give Him those dark places and become His light and His salt. And then when you're asking Him, God, give me the filling of the Spirit, He will be saying to you, you got it, you've had it, it's there, it's overflowing from you as rivers of living water, because the river's not blocked up anymore with garbage. Amen. Let's pray. Thanks for the Word. Thanks for your power. Thanks for Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your filling. And thank you, God, that no matter, your grace is sufficient. Amen. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's do this Lord's Supper.